Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
All right, so you guys know about the misconnection section of Craigslist?
Of course.
Yeah.
Been around forever.
All right, so
wait, James, didn't you meet a former lover that way?
Three of them.
Okay. At the same time?
Same Craigslist ad.
Nice.
All on the same ad. I saw three girls at once, and I asked why they were together, and they all approached me.
All right, so there's one posted in the Houston misconnection section yesterday. The title is, "You Farted in Kroger Yesterday." Male for woman, 31, Midtown. Here we go. You were the tall brunette with a near-perfect body that farted in the bread section last night.
That's not real, is it?
I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, "Was that you?" You quickly replied, "No, it wasn't me." You almost seemed insulted, I would ask. As this stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulent. But it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving two loaves of ciabatta at you. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. "You are beautiful, even if you're a liar and fart like a Clydesdale." Wait, I'd love to meet you.
Are we starting off our Beer, Blood, and the Bayou podcast on body funk?
You have to admit, that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That was really funny.
Well, welcome, James. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome.
I've been here.
It's been a while.
Sorry for the delay in the cast, everybody. We've, life got in the way.
Yeah,
it's the holidays.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, huh?
Yeah. So I'm super excited for Christmas. Anybody else?
I'm excited.
Yeah. What'd you get your wife? Tell me now.
No, I can't.
No.
It's not time yet, you know?
Oh, does she even listen?
Yeah.
No. We got a fan. Is that our other fan?
Who?
Your wife.
Sometimes.
Well, good.
I don't know. She's not a fan of me, I can tell you that.
No, I would agree.
I got a gift that we'll keep on giving for years to come.
What's that?
I got an engagement ring.
Hey!
Ooh, yep.
Congratulations.
He said yes, everybody.
And
he said yes.
The wedding was last weekend. It was invite only for friends. I'm sorry I didn't reach out to you guys.
Oh ouch. Big owie.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun. Look on Facebook and Twitter and classmates.com. You'll see all the pictures of the party.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, James, I'm so happy for a man of your advanced age to finally settle down.
Well, you know, they say if you don't get married before you're 63.
Yeah. Did you give her a ring and a letter saying what you want to be done with your body when you die?
Yeah, I
and you're withdraw medical services.
Do what you must.
I had to have help bending a knee. I had one of those OSHA harnesses on that they wear on high rises.
Oh, nice.
So somebody could pick me back up.
You're strapped in.
And I had a hard hat on because I can't fall anymore at my age.
So do you want to talk a little bit about the moment or no? Like for real, do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Where are you at, though?
Where were you?
Did you go to the,
how'd you pop
water out? Wall down there by the Galleria?
The Eiffel Tower.
Helicopter.
Yeah, it was like, were you helicopter ride around Manhattan?
Back end loader. What'd you do?
So I did it in Huntsville.
Ooh, prison.
At the walls unit, death chamber.
Did you? Was she on the other side of the glass?
It was a tour. It was a prison tour.
Oh, nice.
No, I did it at, she's from Huntsville, and her and I met in Huntsville.
That's right.
At the Mexican restaurant that we all worked at.
Yeah. That's right.
Costumos.
And, which is still there, but under a different name.
Yeah.
And she has a tattoo on her forearm that are the last three words of Sam Houston because of his history in Huntsville.
Yeah.
which is for our listener, Texas, Margaret, Texas, were his last three words.
Very chilling.
His wife is Margaret, and of course, he loves Texas. So anyway, she got that on her arm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I figured the best place to do it would be in Huntsville at a place that will never be torn down, and I will always see and remember it. And
the
that
fox.
No? The Jolly Fox. No, was the no, the statue.
Oh.
So I took her there as if we were doing... So for the past 2 months, I've been telling her that I was commissioned to take a photo of the statue, and I needed her help to hold like reflectors and stuff to get the perfect shot. So begrudgingly, she went because she's like, I've been
here.
You're
fucking paying me for this, Josh.
Yeah. Well, then her parents wanted to go because they knew what was going on. Nobody else did. And then, so now it's like, okay, now I got to do like a family photo shoot. So I have my camera gear, tripod set up on record, not.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't know that. So we had the whole family to get a picture. And then I went, took a knee to get my, the ring out of my laptop, my camera bag.
Yeah.
Saying I need to get the remote to hit the shot.
Yeah.
And did it then. And then the best part is that on the way there, I thought of this. Why not go eat dinner afterwards with her family at the restaurant we met at? So we went to
Margaritas.
Yeah. Well, now Margaritas. Just, you know, which is kind of close.
So you got this whole thing on video.
Yeah.
No. Did posting, you record
no,
the restaurant?
No, no posting the Facebook.
I showed it at the wedding. Y'all weren't there, though. I didn't invite y'all.
Oh.
No.
So,
for
yeah.
real, though, how do we see it? When do we see it? You're not going to post it or anything? You're not going to...
I got to do some editing.
At least for your friends. Oh, really? Are you going to put some music in there?
I'm going to throw it in Filmora.
Hey, what kind of music are you going to set like in the background to it?
Probably Journey.
Journey.
Wheel in the Sky. For Broward.
You laugh, but that's awesome stuff, well, man.
No. So after I did it, though, she's like, so there's not really... You didn't get commissioned to do a photo this weekend? I'm like, no. You thought I still had to like take some photos.
Oh, was she really disappointed? She's like, I knew you were a loser.
Yeah, she's like, God, I thought you were a professional photographer.
Yeah, you're a loser. She's like, I knew it.
Yeah, so he's, she's like,
here's... Reluctantly said yes.
Yeah, so, even though it's late in life for a wedding.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm glad it's finally happening for you, man.
Yeah, me too, man.
I just can't wait to plan the bachelor party.
Are you going to have one? Are you going to have a bachelor party?
Where do you have them if you're in your 70s? Like shuffleboard?
And... Well, no. Here, dude. First of all,
he's got
happy
all
hour
he's got all
at
out.
Luby's.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Luann's for everyone.
Duh.
That's right. And then figure maybe we'll catch a matinee. And then, home by 9.
Just in time for Matlock.
That's right.
Murder, She Wrote.
Or Murder, She Wrote. Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
That's huge news. Think about what we had so far on this podcast since we've been doing it.
Hey,
we have a baby born. We got a proposal.
Yeah, no more holidays.
I got my
alone,
fake tits.
Huh?
Yeah, you had that a transition. Yeah, Ralph.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
No, what?
Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Yeah,
what, we just stopped.
I said no more holidays alone for James.
Oh, I know.
And then no more tears. Tears for fears.
He'd always call us up. We could always hear Cowboy in the background. You know, Kid Rock. I'm like, where are you? It's Christmas Day. I'm
That's
at
right.
the strip club every Christmas.
The best strip club song to get a dance to is
on Christmas
is November Rain because it's like 15 minutes long.
It's
money's
half,
worth.
Well, yeah. they charge double for that, and everybody knows that.
Do they really?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
I don't know.
All right, this is Beer Blood in the Bayou.
Yeah. Well, enough of the fun and games, James.
I have a James.
We gotta get down to business.
I got a James luck story to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Well, hold on. Let me introduce real quick. Okay, across from me, Mr. Josh James, say hi.
I'm here. I've been here.
Mr. Ray Brower.
Hey, everybody.
And Ralph Sweetwater. I fear no beer. Why do you always do that? You always make fun of me. Go ahead.
All of my friends know that I have what we call James luck stories. That stuff happens to me that doesn't happen to anyone else.
Yeah.
And I've had previous car wash stories, but this one takes the cake. I dropped off the... 12-year-old at school the other morning and was like, hey, it's a nice day. It's not going to rain all week. Check the radar as you do if you're going to pay for a car wash. And I went to one of the ones at the gas station, $8, pulled in. And on my truck, it's known that the sunroofs, there's issues with them for whatever reason. It's like a Ford defect or something. I don't know, but I've already had
it. Oh, Isuzu Pup? Is he still driving that Isuzu Pup?
Yeah. And El Camino. So I open the shade, not the window, so I can see if it's going to like wobble or blow off, or because it's just a bad. I already had to replace it once, so I went to the car wash, and it started, and then I noticed that my mirrors, which stick out way too far for some reason. We're about to start getting hit by the little flapper things that are cleaning your car, and I forgot to close them. So I pushed the button to close it, and I'm sitting there on my phone, as you do, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm getting wet. My back window must be open. And then it started getting more wet. I'm like, holy shit, dude, this is like a bad leak. And then it's like pouring down rain. I look up, and I not only hit the shade button, I hit the full sunroof button.
Oh, shit.
My entire sunroof was open, and I was getting the full, I mean, the full pressure of the rinse into my, I mean, it was splat on the inside of my windshield, the inside, the seat. I was in work clothes. My hair was completely drenched like I was in a shower.
Wow.
And I was watching the thing close.
Oh, and you know they use gray water for that, right?
Probably. It went in my coffee. It was in my coffee. I had to watch it close in like slow motion as the sunroof does. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm like leaning back the seat. And it, I mean, I've never seen this much of a fucking water pressure. People must have thought I was an idiot because I got out of my car and like had to like shake off like a dog. I mean, I was drenched. I had to go home.
Oh, man.
I mean, completely, like,
how
I just take a shower.
How do you not notice your sunroof's open?
That's really weird, man.
I mean, I just did it. I didn't look up. I always hit the button to open just the shade. It's a separate button. I hit the wrong button.
That's never happened to me before.
Wow.
Never. You know, the worst things ever happened to me in a car. Well, aside for a car crash, but you ever puked in your car, like uncontrollably?
I puked in someone else's car in the backseat. Matt's like, brand new car, remember that in college? He had just gotten it through in the backseat.
Well, I went to Jason's Deli and I ate a salmon sandwich, which like a big, it was.
Who gets that?
I know exactly.
Was it like a hot
sandwich? Well,
that's
what he said. The guy said, nobody ever gets this, right? So I got it. I ate it. I was like on a health kick, you know? About an hour later, I had to leave work because I just like, I knew I was going to throw up and I didn't want to throw up at work, you know? So I'm like racing home. I'm just like, I'm sweating. I'm praying to God that I'm not going to throw up. I'm at a stoplight. I'm just like, oh God, you know, I'm like a quarter of a mile from my house. And all of a sudden, I just feel it, and I can't, it's just all over my fucking steering wheel.
This recently happened?
No, this is when I had my Audi, you know, the S5.
Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, he had to drop it in there.
But no, man.
89?
1989 Audi. But no, I puked in the steering wheel, got it like all in the leather. And the, like.
That is fucking gross.
I cleaned.
It wasn't leather, but yeah, no, that's gross.
I called somebody, $200. They came and detailed it for me.
Well, it's easy to clean up.
What'd you tell them it was?
I told him the salmon sandwich. What are you talking about?
That's had to be a really stinker one, too.
Yeah, but, you know, they told me. They said, like, don't order this. I mean, nobody ever eats this, you know? Just like that.
We call this the cleanser.
I guess so, but it was fucking.
Where was this from?
Jason's Deli.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that downer of a story really brought me to what we need to talk about, this horrible, horrible thing that's going on, not just in our city, but our state.
Okay.
This has crossed now two cities. So you guys heard about Heidi Broussard and her daughter Margot Carey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was the Austin mother, and that's her little girl that they found her. They found Heidi's body in the trunk of a car, and the baby in the care of her best friend. So it would appear that this woman who had faked a pregnancy killed her best friend and took her baby.
Yeah.
So. One of the sad things, I mean, there's a million sad things that are going on about this right now, but the full story hasn't been fully fleshed out, but it's what it's looking like is happening. But right now, sad thing is the poor baby, right? It's like a 2-month-old baby. And they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. Basically, a newborn girl who police said appeared to be Heidi Broussard's child has been placed in foster care.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Broussard and her 1-month-old child went missing on December 12th in Austin after she dropped off another child at elementary school. Imagine that. Your mom doesn't come pick you up. Find out she's dead in another city. Horrible. But the baby was found unharmed in the Houston home and taken to a local hospital. She's in foster care while CPS tries to investigate what happened. Spokesman for CPS says it's standard procedure. CPS must now determine where Margot should be permanently placed. First, a CPS caseworker must confirm that people claiming to be related to Margot are in fact are. Any person seeking custody cannot have any prior involvement with CPS, no criminal record, and they must have experience caring for children. That's a pretty tall fucking.
No, wait, hold on. No criminal history at all.
No criminal history.
Like even like a misdemeanor.
No involvement. Well, I don't know, but no involvement with CPS and have experience caring for children. That's lofty, you know, considering that some of these people are probably, I can only assume that they might be maybe economically disadvantaged or at risk already. So this is horrible, a horrible situation. It feels like it's getting worse.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, we will keep you updated on all that.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of cases like this where you have women, they fake pregnancies and then they're like, oh shit. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's time, you know, the chickens will come to roost, right? I gotta produce a baby.
Yeah, and then sometimes you'll have the woman will kill, you'll cut the baby out.
There's been
stories about that.
I've heard that too.
Ridiculous.
Do you remember that one? It was on Sword and Scale.
And it was always skip the baby ones.
Really? Well, I mean, so this woman, she was kidnapped, and this woman kidnapped her, put her in like her in her house, and she cut her baby out. So she's sitting on the floor. I mean, laying on the floor. Sorry, like in agony, like bleeding out. Her baby's been cut out of her, and you know what's on blast? Michael Jackson history, the video, like the double,
God.
Like the double cassette video. This is back before DVDs. But yeah, so she's sitting there, and this fucking crazy woman who just ripped a baby out of her is fucking singing Michael Jackson hits. Could you imagine that?
I would never be in that position, I would like to think.
Well, you wouldn't, because you would never be pregnant.
I mean, and just you in don't that like whole Michael situation.
Jackson. Okay, let's move on to the beer.
Yeah, let's
well,
do that.
Well, hey, any brewery stories?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, well, I was at 11 Below yesterday.
How was that?
It was great. Great vibe, great atmosphere, good beer. I drank a couple of Osa Buenos.
Yeah.
Given the weather was so great, I was surprised that the crowd was not quite there.
You're like, I'm going to pop my shirt off.
I know. But no, it was cold. It was chilly. It wasn't cold. It was chilly. And, they have a nice big open space, and it felt like there should be a couple of hundred people there. But anyway,
where was this again?
Cool.
Where
11 Below.
Where? The town?
Oh, it's northwest side. It's like right below 1960 and 249. You ever never been to 11 Below? They're in stores all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really popular.
You know what I really, as I'm getting older and fatter, I really enjoy the
You don't look like you're getting older.
The Texas winters. Really enjoy that.
I don't at all.
Okay. Hey, can I see the can? Or do you want to do the honors?
I'll do the honors.
Okay, go ahead. What do we got here?
All right, we had a Eureka Heights, mm-hmm. Little choosy moms choose Jif, I guess.
No, it doesn't say choose Jif on it.
It doesn't, but that's what they're trying to elude.
It's called choosy mom.
Yeah, mom-approved chocolate peanut butter milk stout.
Yummy.
Gross, gross, and gross.
What's the ABV?
The ABV on this bad boy is, where is it on there?
It's on
6%.
There. 6%.
So that's right. I had a chocolate stout. I went to a petrol 2 weekends ago, and I had a chocolate stout. I had a bunch of my friends there with me that I invited in the neighborhood.
Not me.
Yeah. So I was wondering where you were going to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two stouts, and one of them was a peanut butter stout.
Which one do you remember?
I don't remember, but that's why I thought it was this one.
No.
It was a local brewery, obviously. Yeah. I was forced to get it because the other one I'd had, I didn't like it. I love stouts.
Yeah.
And amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't really taste the peanut butter. You had the
delicious AF from Saloon Door.
There you go.
That's what you had.
And it was great.
The chocolate peanut butter?
Yeah.
Dude, that is one of the best beers out there, dude.
And it is
so good.
She recommended it, but I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's good. All right, we're going to drink this.
I got to tell you, I like the can art. Really cool.
Yeah. Dude, they have the marketing there is fucking insane. This guy, Brent.
Give this guy.
We've met him. We did a photo shoot there.
We did?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of pictures with you smooching with him and his wife.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was...
God, that was a long time
ago. James Glass, please.
Maybe when they had Buckle Bunny released. Wasn't that them? Buckle Bunny?
Dude, they just opened up. The Buckle Bunny was their first beer.
That's when
their first lineup, I guess. All right. Thank you.
There you are.
All right, here we go. So we look at the color. What do we see? You can't see through.
Very stouty.
Very dark. Not necessarily motor oil.
It looks like a Dr. Thinner. Pepper, no ice.
Do you drink out of your glass, bro, or your hand, where it's all over your hand? How do you drink it? Maybe. On your knuckle? You drink it off your knuckle?
Oh, yeah. No, I was a little overspray.
And then if we look, we got a little bit of carb here. So you don't see a lot of carb typically.
That is licorice-y or chocolatey.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of carbs. So let's do a nose. What do we got? I smell chocolate.
It's good, yeah.
I smell chocolate and peanut butter. All right, here we go.
Cheers.
You got to cheers me or it's bad luck.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I tell you what.
Hmm?
It's not bad.
It's pretty fucking good in it.
It's really good.
You know why I like stouts? Here's why I like stouts.
I don't like stouts. Do I like this?
Yeah, you like it.
You know,
I'm confused.
It's a peanut butter chocolate stout. There's no way you're not going to like it.
Here's why you start drinking stouts, listener. because
you like typical chits.
Typically good beer, you look fucking cool in a bar with a dark drink.
Yeah.
And you don't have to drink as much because the ABV is so high.
Yeah. This one's not necessarily, but one's a little thinner, you know, but the fucking chocolate and peanut butter.
You know what dark beer?
It's not too offensive.
You know what dark beer has a low ABV?
Brower just took another sip.
It's not bad, man.
Yeah. Wow. Question. You know what dark beer has a low ABV?
What?
It's amazing.
What?
Guinness.
Shinerbach.
That's my favorite.
Shinerbach. Say
Santo. I just wanted to say it.
Santo.
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 You know they have a Santo car that drives around town.
Mm.
Have you seen it? Yeah, all painted up with Santo labels.
So yeah, so Brower, you say it's a winner, huh?
I would say this is a Brower would probably buy it to impress someone.
Wow.
And drink it and finish it, but may not drink two.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't drink two stouts. So.
Yeah, no, I would, but it's good.
James would say it's not river rafting approved. You would not drink more than one of these.
Who does Crush City?
Buffalo Bayou.
Who does Buckle Bunny's Eureka Heights, right?
Buckle Bunny, yeah. That's
okay, I bought a 12-pack of Buckle Bunny last night for the...
yeah.
I went and I had an employee of mine get married last night.
Yeah.
And I told him I would... It was a smaller wedding, and I told him I'd buy all the beer for it. So I went half domestic garbage and then half a couple of choice picks.
Yeah.
Although I did throw a fucking Carbach in there.
I hate you.
I know. I hate myself.
You know, you have to do that. More often than not, if you go to a random gas station that's smaller, it's Carbach is the closest thing you can have to a pastime of craft beer.
Yeah.
If there's none there. Besides Shiner, that's always a staple you can go to, I guess. But anyway, everyone's always got Carbach now.
Cool. Everyone's got a story.
Everyone does.
Everybody always has a story.
This is pretty good, man. I like it.
Hey, can I end this section on just one quick story that I have?
Bring it.
Okay, so
let's focus on the quick part.
I'm at work the other day, and this dude, he like walks in the elevator, and it's just me, and he's talking. I was like, oh, he's talking to me, right? You know, definitely talking to me. And so he's turning around, he's talking, and I don't see a Bluetooth piece in his ear or anything like that.
Starts unbuttoning his shirt.
No. So he's got his phone, but he's looking at his phone. And then I notice that he's doing a talk to text.
Oh, God.
Do people use that often?
No. He was using it, and it was in clear violation of any... I mean, it's a crime against humanity, I think, to use that, like, in front of people.
Ever? Even by yourself?
I don't know.
Dude, I walk around stores, grocery stores, and other places where people just walk around with their phone in front of them like it's like a comm from Star Trek. And talking into it, and you just hear the entire conversation.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't think the technology's there. The other day, I was in a hurry to get home because I had a piss, and I texted Ashley using that, and I told her to open the door, and I ended up saying, like, are you making biscuits tonight or something? Because it doesn't transcribe it.
I use it when I'm driving, but...
It doesn't work for me. I guess
it works really well. But
I do slur a lot when I talk.
Oh, I do, too.
You mumble. Yeah. You mumble a lot.
That's right. You are a mumbler.
Well, it's like
a lack of confidence in what you think. And so
no.
Your inability to grasp the language. And
No, it's the more of a reservoir dog. Reservoir dogs.
Whatever that means. Voice. I have no idea.
Are you talking about...
what's his name?
Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright.
He mumbled.
Yeah, he's the DJ from Kay Bailey Sounds.
Kay Bailey Sounds. Do it. Yeah, do it real quick.
No. Let's go.
You don't want to do it?
No.
Okay. All right.
My voice is not ready. I have not properly throated myself.
Okay. God, that sounds...
What's disgusting. Morgan Freeman think about this?
So real quick.
I'm unprepared.
Okay. James, you have something. You have something this week, I hear.
Yes.
Okay. What do you got? You got to tell us real quick? Quick little teaser?
I have a double... homicide.
Ooh, double doozy.
Don't say from 1836. I hate old-timey stories.
From some campers.
Ooh.
That were just having a family camping trip.
Here in Houston.
In 1635.
You guys heard the story about Roanoke?
All right.
It was the Mayan civilization.
All right. We will be right back after this. And we're back.
Hey, everybody. We're back with James' blood.
Can you give me a refill? This is a...
You want some? Yeah, there you go.
A short story, so I'm going to drink really slow.
This is what you always say. You always say it's short, but you always end up filling in the 20 or 30 minutes.
What I don't understand is how do you how do you take all that, all those hours of research and compact it into these?
That's what I don't understand.
8 minute
either.
Stories you have.
Well, he's doing hours and hours of research.
You turned in your timesheet and it was like 3 hours of research on just this 1 8 minute story.
Again, I only use Microfiche. So there's a lot more
logistics.
It's a lot more of an arduous process. Yeah.
It's more of a physical demand.
I don't believe it, but go ahead.
And also, I'm realizing that, I guess when I emailed this over to me, some of this got deleted because the title just says 7-33 for some reason. So some hopeless, 7-33. I don't know, some stuff must have gotten deleted.
Are you serious? So we're going to have to stop and start?
No, it's just going to be kind of a choose your own adventure. Because I think some of the paragraphs are gone. So anyway, this happened in 2019, very recent. I wanted to go from last time when I did a crime in the Mayan civilization.
Yeah.
To modern day months ago.
Thank God.
And what really stuck out about this crime is because it happened at a campground where my family and I were this summer, and the campground, it was on Padre Island. When you think of Padre Island, you think of South Padre Island.
This is in Houston.
It ties back to
it does
Houston.
Okay, good. Because we are a Houston true crime podcast.
I know, but you said as long as it ties into Houston.
Well, I'm not making the rules.
So, James Butler, 48 years old, and his wife, Michelle Butler, 46 years old, 2019, okay. October. This just happened.
Oh, this just happened.
They were traveling through Texas. They went through Houston to get to Corpus on I-45.
They stopped at Bucky's and took a piss.
Yeah. As they passed the Heights in Oak Forest, they
said, huh, those gentrifications, we're going to catch up to all of them one day when they get their kids in elementary school.
This city sucks. Keep driving, Pam.
Don't look out the window, honey. Yeah. So they were making their way from New Hampshire down to the Corpus area, which is South Padre Island. And when I think of South Padre Island, I think of college. You know, going down to Matamoros, that South Padre.
Yeah, partying, yeah.
Right.
You think of one city and then makes you think of another?
Well, I mean, when you think of South Padre Island, you think of the party, all the hotels, the bars, which is South Padre.
When I think of South Padre, I think about that is like the most southern tip of this country, just about. And I remember being down there when I was in high school, meeting a guy who rode his bike down there from Minnesota and just never left.
Really?
He's running from creditors, I think. But I think he just kind of worked on someone's deck and then just kind of lived and like slept on a hammock, you know, that kind of life.
I'll never forget the last time I went there for spring break. It was probably 2000 and a lot of...
12?
No, we all went to Matamoros, which is what you did when you were down there for spring break and Padre. Now would never want to go down there. And I bought some cigarettes, much cheaper, like 50 cents a pack or something from a little kid on the side of the street. And I crossed the border, and they stopped only me. None of my other friends were stopped at the border patrol going through the gate or whatever, and made me empty my pockets. And then I had to pay a tax on the cigarettes. Mm. And then when I got back to the hotel,
$40 tax?
I don't know, but it was more than I should have paid because it was just stupid cigarettes. When I got back to the hotel, one of the guys that was with me emptied his pockets and had like bottles of like steroids. And I'm like, awesome. I just had to pay a tax on cigarettes. And this guy made it through with steroids.
This guy's got like Windstraw keistered.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had like a condoms tied up in his butt.
Yeah, exactly. If you used your butthole, you wouldn't have to pay a tax.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get that cigarette pack.
You should have got the soft pack.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I didn't get the memo. I was trying to use a carton. So.
Okay. Anyhow, go ahead.
Anyway, this is South Padre, but it's the northernmost tip, which is pretty much Corpus Christi.
North Padre.
Yeah. So James and his wife were in their RV. They were coming from New Hampshire, and
not you, James.
No, this is not James.
Did you find this article in one of your RV journals?
Yes. I was at Luby's.
RV in America.
I was eating dinner at Luby's around 4 o'clock and stumbled upon this.
What an attorney?
In a Reader's Digest magazine.
Yeah.
So. This couple had recently started going across the nation in their camper and working at places, odd jobs, and they had landed a job at an oil rig or something. I'm not really sure exactly what they were going to be doing, but that's why they were in Corpus. and they were taking pictures of their campsite, sending it to their family.
They're probably like being on-site 24-hour guards.
Right.
Yeah.
They've been doing it since June of 2018. They was just, their plan was to go to Florida this past November to sell Christmas trees. But obviously, you'll see soon enough that that did not happen. I want to read the timeline of what happened in this case. October 15th of this year, they checked into the Padre Bali campground at noon. Now, this campground is on the island. I camped there, and I'm like really curious as to why they only charged me like $18 or $20 a night.
Why?
I didn't know until I got there and then realized that this would be a perfect place to set up a meth lab. It is a county campground.
Yeah.
And I wish I had, I'm not trying to downplay it. It's, people stay there. You're on the beach.
Okay.
And there's a nice section they just built that looks like a normal campground. And the part that we stayed in was the old part, which
meth
was
still
sketch.
Really?
I mean, it was like a, it was like basically a parking lot of RVs. You just pull up in like a concrete parking lot and just don't even open your awning. You don't even really set up camp.
Yeah.
Very, I was not comfortable there at all.
Yeah.
But it is cheap if you want to go there, get on the beach. So on the 15th, they set up camp at this campground. And the last Facebook post was them setting up their campsite.
Yeah.
Which they sent to their family. And it has pictures. I'm not going to turn my computer around, but it's got, if we had a TV on the wall, it'd be great in our room.
We got TV on the ground.
Yeah. Well,
that's not nice haunted.
Actual setup in here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they had pictures of them setting up their campground, as you do, showing their family.
As you do.
On the 16th, the next day, that was, there was another text that went out to their kids. That was the last known text. On, also on the 16th, their phones were both cut off. So they've been there near the Corpus area about a day.
Yeah.
On the 17th, they missed a FaceTime call to their grandkids. So now it's starting to get a little sketchy for their family. The on the 19th, a camper said he last saw them going to Burners Beach with their truck, which is a, they left the campground that I went to and went to one that's like, actually, you're camping on the beach. It's very out of the public eye.
Almost,
what's the word I'm looking for?
Almost, off the beaten path.
Almost filled it in there for you.
Right. So on the 23rd, this is a timeline that they were able to, web sleuthers were able to track, by the way. October 21st, they realized the fellow campers around them said the RV and the truck had left. They figured they had just packed up camp and left. There were GPS devices, but they could not detect their vehicles. I guess they had a
OnStar or something.
Right. On the 21st, the same day, this is all transpiring. Remember, they got there on the 15th to start camping, and they packed up and went to the more secluded area of Burners Beach to camp the rest of the week on the 21st. Later that day on the 21st, Border Patrol in Mexico at a checkpoint near Eagle Pass saw an unknown man with his lady friend driving through the checkpoint, and it was not
going
Butler,
going to Mexico
with a camper and an RV, and it was not Butler and his wife.
Oh, no.
On the 23rd at approximately 8 a.m., a missing persons report was filed on the couple. So at this point, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Y'all are so interested in the story that
this has sounded like From Dusk Till Dawn.
I'm like digging this, dude. No, I've heard of it. I know what
it is. You're onto something, bro. You're about to see why.
Oh my god, they find fucking vampires?
Yes.
Quentin Tarantino's there.
On October 23rd, around dawn, they went to a local bar where the bartender turned into a vampire.
Yeah.
So on October 23rd, a county deputy went to Padre Bali Park, which again was the park they started at that I've camped at, that's kind of sketchy, where the couple was last seen. And he learned that they had rented an RV space at the park from Monday, September 30th to October 14th. So the days were not really adding up. They learned that the Butlers were traveling in a, they learned the path of where they were going next. They learned they were going to pack up from here and go to Florida to sell Christmas trees. And they learned from their family they had jobs in the area until the meantime. Well, fast forward a couple days, the Texas Rangers stepped in.
As
they
always do.
Border Patrol. The DPS stepped in, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard. So this brought on everyone, all hands
massive
on deck.
Massive search, all hands right. on deck.
And they combed the beach the next morning immediately with cadaver dogs and drones. So apparently drones are pretty much the norm nowadays.
Drones are so hot right now.
Yeah, it's the thing to do in law enforcement.
Everybody I'm into drones.
Everybody loves drones.
I like drone technology.
Me too.
It's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They said they law enforcement said they stayed overnight to protect the integrity of the, what they thought was going to be a crime scene, just to make sure nothing was disturbed. It didn't take long before one of the deputies discovered the remains of a woman after doing a follow-up regarding some GPS coordinates he was given south of Bob Hall Pier near the mile marker on Pottery Island, mile marker 263. Bob Hall Pier is a very famous pier and an amazing restaurant right next to it, by the way.
Mm.
I've got photos of it on my photography Instagram for those that are interested.
We're not interested.
Not at all. So it's a cool place. And it also appeared to be the last place the cell phones were being pinged was in that area, which is the campground. That's one of the reasons we stayed at the campground, because Bob Hall Pier is right there. I mean, that's like a destination on that part of the island. On the 27th, they now found two bodies in a shallow grave. A man's body was found beneath the woman's, so they were just quickly dumped on the beach.
How were they murdered?
They were partially clothed, and dental films were sent off to medical examiners. The bodies were positively identified as the Butlers, who were the ones, obviously, they were looking for. They were severely decomposed.
Wait, how long were they on the ground?
About 2 weeks.
Okay. Decomposition, is that severe in the ground that quickly? I guess they were in the sand, though, so...
Well, I think there was some animal disturbance, too.
Yeah, of course there is.
So...
Crabs.
Right. The bodies were indeed the Butlers. They were not releasing, at the time, the cause of death because it was an important part of the investigations. They did, however, release the photo officially of the surveillance footage showing the man and the woman driving the truck and camper belonging to the Butlers across the border. So, fast forward to November 5th, like a week later after the bodies were found, the man in the video was positively identified as Adam Curtis Williams, and the woman was identified as Amanda Nover. They were both from Utah, and they both had an extensive arrest record. I mean, him more so than her. It's probably 3 pages long what this guy's done. I mean, terrible stuff. So, an arrest warrant was immediately signed off for both of them, and a bond was set at $1 million. However, they were now in Mexico. So they sent it down to Mexican officials, and it didn't take long, a day pretty much, by the way, for Mexican authorities to locate. These people obviously stuck out. If you saw a picture of this guy looks like...
Like Mr. America?
He is not up to anything. He looks like... It's like face tattoos.
Oh, no shit.
I mean, it's this guy's...
Yeah.
He's ready for prison.
Yeah.
He's not going to have to get, prepared.
Yeah.
So they were arrested in Jalisco, Mexico, which is 800 miles away from where they took.
Jeez, Jalisco, wow.
Right. And Williams is currently accused of stealing the pickup and the camper of the Butlers. That's what he's being arrested for.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing tying them to the murderers. So, He's 33 years old from Utah. He's wanted on a felony theft charge. And the Amanda Nover, his girlfriend, is still in Mexico, but she is in custody but has not been extradited over to...
Wait. I'm confused here. So you're telling me... Hold on. Where's the guy at now?
So they were in Mexico. Yeah. Jalisco, Mexico. Right. Mexican authorities stepped in, found them, and arrested them both. Took them into custody.
Okay.
Adam Curtis Williams was immediately extradited. I'm not sure why it was much faster for him.
Oh, okay.
It may have been because she had a 3-year-old kid with her, which is...
Are you fucking kidding me?
Unbelievable, yeah. So maybe there was something to do with that. He was immediately extradited to Houston, by the way, to Harris County Jail, where he sat until he was then taken to another county in Texas to be processed.
Yeah.
Right. But she was left in Mexico. So as it is now... He is under arrest. There's videos online. I recommend y'all go look at this guy and watch the videos of him being taken to jail. This guy is pretty sketchy. But as it is now, like I said, all they have this guy on are charges of theft grand theft for stealing a truck and a camper. So this is going to be a case that we will be following because there's no, they have to now tie on the murders. But I mean, it's pretty obvious.
They got his camper and two people showed up dead.
Right. You know? But I mean, they were just left where there's no cameras on the beach. If he's got a really good attorney, which he probably won't have one, a good one, then I mean, there's a case there.
Yeah, I mean,
which is sad to say.
That's fucking crazy. You know, I would just think though that if you are in possession of two dead people's like truck and camper, it's like a slam dunk, right?
You have a lot to explain.
Right, Brower?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he fucking did it. First of all, if you make it down to Mexico, the goal is not to live in the fucking camper. The goal is to
sell
offload. You know, to get to swap it out for something else. You know, and move the fuck on. I'm not trying to take the criminal side here, but what the hell were they doing?
I mean, I guess he could say that somebody gave it to him or something.
How about putting on like some kind of design? I mean, not design, like a mask or something. I mean, how are you, or like do some makeup or a fake beard? Why do you go across the border?
So I have a theory about this, and that's what everybody says. So like everybody says like cameras and photography and that sort of thing, it's a deterrent. Yeah, to some people. But dude, there's a lot of fucking dumb people out there, and they just... They don't give a fuck. They're like, yeah, I probably won't get caught. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, long gone are the days you go to Mexico and you can escape the world. You're not going to escape in Mexico.
And let me tell you something else, guys. Let's harken back to one of our very first episodes, if not our very first episode.
Years ago.
Yeah, and where we talked about the rate of solve crimes in the city of.
Yeah. Oh, they get away with
the
county.
So much. Oh, fucking A. I mean, what is it like? Would we say that? How many homicides?
That was like 30% or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll follow
Brower.
It.
Thanks, Brower, for pitching in there.
That's right.
Good info.
That was good info.
It was really good info.
So we'll follow this to see what comes of it. But I'm really curious to see if they're able to pin him on the murder charges.
You know, we always say we'll follow up on cases, and we never do.
We never will.
I'm joking. No, we do. I'm just joking. We do. Brower's really good about it.
I think on the bus trip we do, we'll go over a lot of the party bus trip.
Speaking of bus trips, really we're going to talk about our fundraiser.
Oh, yeah, our fundraiser.
Our equipment fundraiser. We're working on the details of that.
Mm. So, well, that's good. Let's go into the next section because it's slowly getting hot in here.
Yes. Okay.
Now, all that heavy breathing.
Yeah.
I got to open this door. It's getting really hot again.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. All right. We will be right back.
Right back.
After this.
Right back. Hey, everybody, back with Brower's Bayou section.
Hey, real quick.
Oh, here we go.
Everybody needs to fucking stop what they're doing right now and Google Adam Curtis Williams.
I wasn't lying, was I?
Dude, he is fucking creepy as shit. The video, though, is like, he looks like he's 7 foot tall. And I could not even imagine that guy standing over me in the middle of the night.
Knocking on your RV door in the middle of the night?
God damn, dude.
Yeah, that's all sad. Right,
sorry.
That
anyhow,
sad.
Sorry, go ahead, Brower.
That's why you pack again?
That's all
buddy.
I wanted to say.
Okay, so I'm... This is going to be controversial. I'm going to have a controversial hot take here. Hot take time. Dogs.
Oh, God.
I'll start fighting. I'll start by saying this. I love dogs.
I like dogs.
But there are... Okay. This story is very close to home. It's 3.6 miles away from the very place we were sitting.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So...
Oh, I know this.
Yeah. Houston police said, this is from KHOU, said one woman was killed and another was severely injured after a vicious dog attack in North Houston early Saturday morning.
What?
Police said it was the 5500 block of Arlington Street, which is not that far from here.
Yeah.
Shortly before 6 a.m. These are two women out for a morning walk.
Fuck.
Okay. Police said about 5:48 a.m., a man called 911 saying his wife had been attacked by dogs. At 5:52, officers arrived on scene and discovered the woman suffered multiple dog bites. She was taken to an area hospital where she expected to survive. At 5:55, Houston police received a call from the dog's owner stating the dogs had attacked a woman and she was lying in a ditch in front of his home. Police responded to the dog's owner's home and found the woman deceased with bite marks.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Police said the women were attacked by three pit bulls.
God, three?
Staff at BARC, the Bureau of Animal Regulation and Control, confirmed that the dogs were taken to its animal shelter. Police have checked with dispatch to see if there have been any calls in the past year on dog attacks in the area, and there were zero reports. Neighbors said Saturday these dogs have escaped in the past. Those same dogs always get out of the gate, said Christopher Martin, who said he is friends with the injured woman. They just don't secure those dogs. You can see the big gap in the fence right there. Their dog should have been taken away a long time ago. Police said the dog's owner is cooperating and with the investigation. The case is being referred to the Harris County District Attorney's Office to see if any charges will be filed. Now. So, here's a controversial hot take here.
Yes.
I know lots of friends of ours who have pit bulls.
Yep.
They're wonderful dogs. They're nice dogs. They're amazing dogs.
They're not an aggressive breed.
That's right. It's all about the owner. It's all about the owner. If you truly believe it's all about the owner, then let's put that to the fucking test. Whenever you have one of these vicious attacks, and I'm not going to, this does not go for chihuahuas that bite a little kid. This does not go for that. This is going to go for pit bulls. If everyone who owns a pit bull is willing to say it is about the owner, then co-sign this new rule, which is great. It is about the owner. So when your pit bull attacks and kills someone, you go to jail.
I think so. Aren't they
liable? You're an accessory.
I think they are, aren't they?
No one's ever gone to jail because a pit bull, because this routinely well, maybe the raptor happens. Pit bull. Trust me, if people were going to jail because their dogs were attacking people, a lot fucking fewer people would have pit bulls. That is the fucking fact, but that's not happening. So if we all believe that it's not about the breed, it's about the owner, great. Put your fucking money where your mouth is and say you will go to jail when your dog attacks and kills someone. So
if you have more than one pit bull, I feel like you're not just in pit bulls. It's like a protection thing. You probably have a meth lab.
Could be a foster.
It's a cultural thing. There's a lot of components here. Now now pit bulls go across all cultures. Everyone's got them.
I've seen two Hispanic pit bulls.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what you're talking about? There are they're represented in all cultures, but I think there is also there's a socioeconomic factor here. There's a punching down factor here that people who have pit bulls or whatever. So people are it's a touchy subject with a lot of people. So I'm on board if you want me to believe that it's not the breed, it's the owner. Great. I'll buy your bullshit, but as long as everyone who owns a pit bull is willing to say, I will go to fucking jail when this motherfucking dog kills some lady who's out there walking at 6 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you something else. This is very personal to me because I have been attacked by a pit bull.
You have?
Yes. I've been,
who's?
Someone's a long time ago.
I don't remember.
We don't need We need back.
So I was snapped in the face. I was sitting there on a couch and this dog came up to me out of nowhere. And looks at me, and I was like, oh, hey, doggy. And I just kind of look at her, and the dog leaps up, snaps me in my face, and bites me and gets my lip, both my lips, and I barely pull away just in time. She bites into my top lip and my bottom lip, and I pull away just in time. And the owner was there, and she grabbed her, and she's like, you're not supposed to look at her like that. And I said, like what? Okay, so... But it's,
where are your sunglasses?
That's not why I have a hatred for pit bulls. I'm willing to get beyond that. This was 15 years ago. But what I'm talking about is there is a family on our street that is down the block from us. They have, I think they have two pit bulls or a pit bull and something else. And my wife likes to go outside and walk the baby in a stroller while the weather's nice. And she won't go that way. She's super afraid that those dogs, because every time she goes by, they start going at the fence like they're going to break through it. You know, I mean, eventually they will. They will break through. And you don't know. I mean, you don't know if they're going to attack you or not. And we're trusting these people with this deadly animal. I mean, this is ridiculous. Every fucking time you see a dog attack, it's always a pit bull. And there's always people that run to defend them. And I'm on board for that. I think they should be defended. I think they're an animal. And animals, you know, deserve certain rights like everything else. And I'm not saying we should mass exterminate them, but I think that if you want a pit bull, good. But you're going to sign this agreement that when your pit bull attacks and kills someone, that you are going to fucking jail. That's all there is to it. That's how you solve this problem, because this is a fucking problem.
Well, that'll be a shitter go out the pot. Yeah, I mean,
if this is my wife, that died, Was attacked by pit bulls. Guess what I'm doing? I'm killing every fucking pit bull I'll ever see.
Well, first of all, you're saying
fuck them.
You're asking that guy what time his dog's being put down for one.
You're fucking right. No, the dogs have gotten out in the past. I don't give a fuck if no one's ever called before. They've gotten out in the past and they killed someone. They have a taste of blood. Those dogs need to be terminated immediately. If fucking immediately.
God.
And if you own a dog that has killed someone and you still want to keep your dog, you need to be dealt with too.
That is, yeah, that's a little different there.
You want a dog that has already murdered your neighbor? You have a much bigger problem than the fucking dog, and it is your fucking fault.
Yeah, how do you take that dog to the dog park and with a...
I'm sorry, controversial hot take, everybody.
Mm. Yeah, that's not the usual Bayou section.
That's not usual Brower either. He's usually so nice.
Well, this is important stuff here.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
But anyway. I wonder why you're wearing that shirt that says, "Who let the dogs out?"
Yeah, no, I'm a big Baja Men fan. So, all right, I have this weird theory, right? So there are a few restaurants and some fast food restaurants that I see that I never go to, and I'm always dying to know who the fuck keeps them in business. One of them? Long John Silver's. Yeah. Who the fuck goes there? Another one.
People that used to go to Captain D's.
That's right. Another one, Arby's. Who the fuck goes there?
I love Arby's and Long John Silver's. The little bits, you know?
Yeah.
The little fried bits they give you with the fried fish.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah, it's gross. So.
We talked about that before, how they can make money off that, they realized one day.
Well, yeah, so good.
I tell you, I did find someone that does go to Arby's, right?
Who?
A Missouri church leader who happened to be on Grindr tried to pay for sex acts with Arby's gift card.
What?
Yeah, he had the meats. This is from Daily News. A Missouri church leader and professor used Grindr to connect with students at his university and then attempted to compensate them for their sexual acts using an Arby's gift card, among other unconventional gifts. Wow. This guy's got a set of...
I want to know about the other unconventional gifts. How much worse does it get?
Oh, it gets better. So Barry Pointer, 57, of Kirksville, Missouri, resident professor at Truman State.
Used to work there now, by the way.
And church elder at the Kirksville Church of Christ used the handle DILF on Grindr. Yeah, to connect with male students at Truman State, according to the Daily Express. Pointer then offered to pay for sexual acts with unorthodox ways, telling an undercover officer that he might throw in an Arby's gift card, along with paying to fuel up the officer's vehicle at a local gas station.
Wow.
Pointer said he was interested in a sugar daddy relationship and that he'd provided partners with gift cards, clothes, and cold hard cash in the past.
Yeah.
Daily Express reported.
Why would they write that in the article? Police, that's quite ridiculous.
Police set up the undercover account after receiving a tip about Pointer's use of the app, which is similar to Tinder, but specific to gay, bisexual, and bi-curious men. Right up your alley, James. Pointer offered to pay for the fuel prior to the sex acts, and officers set up a sting in a local gas station, according to the Daily Express. Pointer attempted to flee the scene when he saw the cops, but only made it several blocks before giving up and pulling over. When confronted, Pointer denied that he was there to provide gas or Arby's Rubens in exchange for sex.
We confiscated $1,000 in gift cards from Arby's.
Claiming instead he was simply trying to help out a student.
Yeah.
Pointer has been charged with patronizing prostitution, a misdemeanor, and faces up to 6 months in prison and a fine of $1,000 if convicted. The Daily Express reported Truman State suspended Pointer, and he's due in court January 8th, 2020.
Can we talk about this real quick? I feel, look, let's take this back a step, right? The Arby's gift card, that's pretty funny, right? But these dudes, you know, a lot of these like religious types, people in certain states and cities, you know, they're just repressed, right? And they have to actually, you know, they have to go to these links in order for them to actually live how they feel, right?
You mean as far as it's not a very accepting area?
Well, no, I'm just saying ashamed that they're gay and they can't.
Fine,
live,
yeah, right? fine. But this is still deviant lifestyle choice in our society as we've all agreed it.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's only the news because of the Arby's gift cards, I would think, right?
Well,
I
mean, that makes it more salacious, yes, and makes it a little more funny. But no, here's the thing: if fulfilling this part of your life is that important to you, then get the fuck out of your church.
Yeah, I know.
Or use Chick-fil-A gift cards.
Or use Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Something better.
So real quick, though, I mean, today, in today's society, I mean, you know, gay marriage is legal, right?
It's not frowned
upon as much as, like, it was in, you know, the 1960s. But if you're in any sort of, you know, if you're running religious circles, you have your entire life. I mean, this is probably your only outlet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, minus the gift cards. But I agree. Chick-fil-A would probably be better.
It wouldn't have been in
well,
the news.
Well, it finally answered the age-old question, who the fuck is eating at Arby's? Arby's.
I love
it's apparently
Arby's, dude.
Gay professors.
Arby's sauce?
Yeah, no thanks.
Very good.
Well, this one hits pretty close to home for me. You guys know where Klaus Brewery is over there on Jones Road?
Yeah.
Well, not that far from there. Two men were shot and killed in front of the bar there in Northwest Harris County on Sunday morning.
A bar?
I believe, based on the address, it's called Headliners.
Oh.
The shooting happened around 2 a.m., the 9800 block of Jones Road. Deputies responding to reports of a shooting found two adult men shot inside a vehicle parked in front of a bar. One man was deceased in the driver's seat of the vehicle. Another man in the vehicle suffered multiple gunshot wounds. He was transported to an area hospital where he was pronounced deceased shortly after. Wolford said investigators believe the victims met with another group of men shortly before the shooting occurred. Hopefully, we'll be able to identify a probable suspect or suspects shortly and be able to make arrests in this case, maybe, Wolford said.
Maybe.
He's very optimistic.
30%. Yeah, Wolford asked...
He's like, but it is the holidays and I'm leaving town.
Yeah, Wolford asked anyone who witnessed the shooting to call. So, hey, can you call us? But anyway, So yeah, pretty sad. I mean, that's just two dudes dying out on a Saturday night right before Christmas. So, you know, such is Houston. I mean, just another day in the big city.
Just accept it.
That's right. Wow.
That's all we're doing.
I know.
You got any more over there?
Oh,
right?
I got lots more.
Oh my god,
I got lots more.
God, here we go.
I really wanted to leave early today.
Turn on
here
the
we
fan.
Go. Here we go.
Turn on the fan.
This is in Alaska. We had a little Alaska run when you're going back and forth.
Miss Alaska.
Check this out. Police in Alaska said they were investigating the case of two children who suffered injuries walking in bitterly cold temperatures after being abandoned in their home. On December 13th, Alaska state troopers flew into the village of Vinitai, north of Fairbanks, after receiving reports of injured children.
Oh, shit. That's really far north.
An investigation determined a 5-year-old toddler had carried an 18-month-old baby half a mile to a neighbor's house after the child became scared during a power outage, according to police.
Wow.
The children arrived at the neighbor's house wearing only socks and light clothing. The temperature outside was negative 31 degrees Fahrenheit. Julie Peter, 37, of Vinitai, was arrested on one count of endangering the welfare of a minor in the first degree.
As she should be.
Police said Peter left the children in her home without supervision. Her relationship with the children was unclear. Peter was booked in the Fairbanks Correctional Center. A 5-year-old. I mean, we have children.
Dude, it's so cold up there.
I can't imagine.
So I get pissed.
Dude, it's dark, too. That's the other thing right now.
I get pissed when Jackson goes out and he's 5 with barefoot.
Yeah.
And it's like 65 degrees outside.
I mean, dude, right now, so in the way up in Fairbanks, like number one, you can see the northern lights. Number two, it is dark like 20 hours a day. So those kids are probably walking in fucking negative 30. I bet you they got frostbite, man. They had to.
Oh, yeah. The injuries where they're going to be frostbite.
Jesus Christ. That's horrible. Yeah. What else? What else, Brower?
Well, I had an interesting list that I wanted to get to last week of the number one bars. The suburban bars that are selling the most alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
But,
there we go.
Yeah. Hang on one second.
In Houston or the country?
No, in the suburbs of Houston. This is a Houston podcast. I don't know if you.
Well,
yeah. Let's see. Bombshells made the list. Let's see what else we got here.
No, but it should say the amounts, though.
Yeah, but of course they didn't.
No. Just go back to the slideshow. I hate the Chronicle, by the way.
I know. They suck.
Just refresh the page. Just click on the second picture. There you go. No. Make it small. Make the picture small.
I understand what I'm doing, dickhead.
Mm. There we go. See, it should say right there on the bottom. Look, right there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know. Minute Maid Park was, they were almost $4 million in total.
Does that count?
They were number one.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why that counts, but go on.
Number two.
Holy shit, the Twin Peaks in Shenandoah.
How much?
$353,000.
That's the one place you don't drink in this area.
I know.
Shenandoah.
And then Twin Peaks in Webster, that was $319,000. Voodoo Hut over in Kima, $303,000.
Holy shit.
Bombshells in Spring, $265,000. Well, this is for the month of October, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, just under $5 million. So, wow. Let's see, who is this? The San Luis, $250,000. Let's see, Bombshells. And Tomball, holy shit, $200,000. Let's see.
Didn't even know they had one.
Baker Street and Sugarland.
Baker Street's still open.
$192,000. No, in Sugarland. Tight End Sports Bar, in League City, Tailgaters in Magnolia, Bombshells in Katy.
People love their Bombshells.
I know. Moe's over there off of Muskie Road in Cypress. Moe's, yeah, that's great. Perry's did 171,000. That's like 15 beers for them. Yeah. Trulux did 167,000. Sam's Boat, the last Sam's Boat.
Where? Where's that? Richmond?
Seabrook.
Oh, Seabrook.
It's Sam's John Boat.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Brickhouse Tavern did 147,000 over there in Humble. That's cool. Good for Humble. Let's see. What else? Interesting. Oh, hey. Woodson's Local Tap in Conroe did $141,000.
We hear you, Matt.
That's alcohol sales only.
Hmm.
Whiskey River in Richmond did 122. Bubba's 33, 121. Gringo's 120. And let's see, Lazy Dog. Lazy Dog, that's brand new. My God, they did 114,000 over in. So anyway.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Mostly restaurants.
Everybody get a bar.
Yeah, mostly bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, would you guys ever be interested in getting into a draft house? Like simple, super simple, a draft bar.
What would we call it?
I don't know.
I Fear No Draft Bar.
Ooh. I Fear No Draft.
I Fear No Draft.
Oh, that's man. Interesting.
That's very interesting.
That's very interesting.
Ooh, you're talking the mic again. I like that.
That's very interesting.
God, look at that. Do you see how deep and rich it is?
K. Bailey sounds of the 70s and 80s keeps on rocking.
God, that's good.
We'll have to talk about
makes
that.
Makes me so
get
hard.
Get some investors. In a few years, we'll get some.
Listen, if anybody out there wants to open up a...
Investors, we can get this done for 150 grand.
You think so?
Oh, my God. Shitty metal building somewhere. Do a small renovation. We can do everything at cost.
Mm.
I mean, what are we talking about here? The most expensive part would be running any sort of HVAC or any...
Oh, would there be no refrigeration?
If anybody's interested, just send us $150,000.
And are you okay with window unit air conditions
Yes.
for the first 5 years?
Those are easy. Those are okay, right?
I agree.
Does it use more like? Does those use more electricity than central?
You just can't talk.
No, well, it depends on how many you need, right? Yeah. So I bought a window unit for the downstairs of my house in August when we brought the baby home because I wanted to make sure we were nice and comfy, and I knew we were gonna have extra people over there. So the estimated cost is $44 a month, assuming let's say you have a 3-bedroom house, so you need three, and then you need at least, and then you got a living room, so you do two in your living room, one in your kitchen, one in a front room.
So they add up.
Yeah, so now you're talking about, let's say total six. Let's say you run six window units. Six times 44 is what? So it's less than $300.
But you would have to advertise, to be clear, if our bar had all window units, no one would be able to hear anyone talk. So you have to tell people you're not allowed to talk in here.
What can we call it? We call it...
No talk bar?
We call it the quiet draft house.
How about I Fear No Noise?
I Fear No
Noise. I Fear No Conversations.
But I Fear No Draft. That sounds really fucking interesting, man.
I Fear No Draft. I don't know why you're latching onto that. That's a horrible name.
Why?
Why is it a... Tell me why it's a good name. I don't understand.
I just bought
it's catchy. It's interesting.
I just bought the DBA online.
I Fear No Draft? I don't know.
I just bought the DBA online for $5.
No. So, you know, the barbecue thing, I'm about to trademark I Fear No Steer.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to open up a barbecue draft beer concept. I Fear No Steer.
At your premier house?
May have a... backyard barbecues. I don't know.
I have James cheesecake.
James cheesecake.
And photography.
He did bring over.
Oh, that's
cheesecakes.
A good idea for a website. What? Cheesecakes and photography.
I know they just go together, don't they?
What about a coffee house slash draft house? Like coffee in the morning, drafts in the evening. I know they already have those concepts right now, but you could really this could be a like a central place for a lot of like local stuff. Like hey. Some kind of weirdo that's got his own photography place and makes cheesecakes. He can have his own little section mm-hmm. there. You know what I mean?
Hey, like, there's a place right over here that just opened called the Houston Ship Channel. Not really great on the name. Not a big fan, but it's exactly that, Brower. It is coffee and cocktails, but they're really trying to focus on coffee. So it's
well,
like
yeah, a, I mean, you can make your money in coffee, and then
how do you make money on coffee? I mean, I guess you do, right?
Yeah, no, there's a...
Well, the beans, though, are pretty expensive now. It's not...
Well, yeah, but if you're buying in bulk, I mean...
If you're charging $2.50 a cup for, like, 8 ounces, I mean...
No, you're charging $6 fucking dollars for a
not
cup.
Not for a regular coffee. Even
oh,
Starbucks,
regular coffee,
like,
yeah,
Tuesday.
You're right, yeah. Like, when I go to Starbucks, I get iced drip coffee.
You look like you get just whipped cream with caramel on it.
Mm.
With a cake pop.
Yeah, I like a cake pop. But anyway, I think conceptually, I think draft houses, bars kind of strip down more friendly, more open and inviting to everybody, less drab, no smoke, that kind of stuff. I think that is sort of the wave, you know, and you could, you know, be a fixture in a particular location. You're not going to look to do gangbusters every single place you go.
This is the way.
That's right. This is the way.
What if you just had a couple refrigerators and it's like you make it like a homely feel, like just grab you one. You don't even have a bartender.
Yeah. What if you just invite people to your house and charge them?
There's a place out in
and then you do there's Texas Hold'em.
There's a place out of Kingwood called Bill's Cafe, and they just it's a honor system. Like you go up to the thing, you go out the cooler, you grab a beer, and you just tell them how much you had.
Went out of business last month.
No, dude, it's fucking great, dude. Their burgers are amazing. Highly recommend.
Yeah. All right, well,
let's wrap it
ready,
up.
You ready to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up, everybody.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you guys. I'll go ahead and cue the music.
Thin slice of heaven, guys.
It's been really nice, dude. It's been way too long. We should do more of these.
We're going to definitely record again for the end of the year.
Are we?
May not before Christmas, though. So,